50. Morrissey drew up a quick plan, which was the only kind they could afford. Moonlight and Twin Soul stayed near the window, ready to break in. Morrissey worked her way up to the front of the building to place a grenade by the door. The slowness bubble would work through the wall, trapping the two guards who stood inside. As she charged her weapon, however, Moonlight ducked around the side of the rectangular structure and scuttled up to Morrissey.
"Guards just moved," she hissed. "They're getting gas masks from a bin near the scientists."
Rusts. She couldn't let them release the gas.
"We go in now," Morrissey hissed. "Back me up if the grenade fails."
Moonlight nodded, and Morrissey kicked in the door and hurled her grenade toward the group of people in the left corner, near the window where she and the others had been spying.
"Sorry, Twin Soul," she thought,
knowing the grenade would catch him, too. Her aim was solid, and the grenade box bounced off one lab table, then fell to the floor near the group of guards and scientists. The two guards immediately leaped away, one sliding over the table, the other dashing for the front of the room. One of the scientists was also at the perimeter and, unfortunately, jumped away in surprise. When the grenade activated, it caught only two of the scientists in gas masks. Luckily, that included the one holding a tin with warning labels on it, presumably the poison tablets. Morrissey's grenade would keep them frozen, but now she had to deal with the others without raising an alarm. The free scientist was cringing at the side of the room, so Morrissey dashed forward and slammed her rifle's butt into the arm of one guard who had been pulling out a pistol. Moonlight moved behind her, hopefully dealing with the other guard, because the man Morrissey had attacked decided to slam into her, shoving her back against a table full of beakers. She grunted as he rammed her own rifle up almost to her neck. Glassware shattered on the floor around her, and a part of her panicked. The part of her that still, even after all these years, worried she wasn't good enough and didn't belong. That part of her was a lot quieter than it had been, because she did belong. This was her operation, and though this man was stronger than she was, he was only a common brute. Training beat strength. She shifted, then let go of the rifle, and stepped out with her left leg, shifting the man's weight and force. As he stumbled, she wrenched out from his grip, rotated around behind him, then slammed his face down into the counter. She recovered her rifle, sparing a glance for Moonlight, who was struggling. She'd disarmed her guard, but he'd in turn pressed her against the wall. As Morrissey took that in, the wall distorted, and a door popped into existence behind Moonlight. Morrissey barely caught sight of the stamp in Moonlight's hand as the door opened, and the woman fell backward through it, surprising the guard, who cried out as she pulled him down with her. Moonlight elbowed him in the face to cut off his cry, so Morrissey finished off her guard with a rifle butt to the face, then turned to deal with the scientist who was... destroying evidence? Morrissey cursed and scrambled over to the woman and pulled her away from the trash can where she'd started a fire. Morrissey kicked the trash can over, scattering charred notebooks and papers out of it.
"Morrissey!" Moonlight cried.
Rusts. The scientist had found a large knife and joined Moonlight's fight. As Moonlight struggled to deal with the guard, who was trying to grapple her, the scientist raised the knife. Making a quick judgment, Morrissey swung up her rifle and snapped off a shot, killing the scientist with a well-placed bullet. The sound echoed in the tunnels like a screamed condemnation. Someone would hear that for certain. Moonlight finished off her guard with her own knife, then was cut off from view as the door she'd made vanished. Morrissey sat on the floor and groaned softly, the shimmering barrier of her slowness bubble just a foot away. She'd taken the risk to save people. She'd known what she was getting into. But now their operation was jeopardized.
"So don't let it be wasted," she thought, hauling herself to her feet.
As her slowness bubble came down, she pointed her rifle right at the two scientists.
"Make one move to open that tin," she said, "and I will kill you. I'm having a particularly bad day, so I wouldn't test that threat."
The scientist with the tin of poison gas tablets carefully set it down, then both raised their hands and backed away. Moonlight entered a moment later and began binding them. Twin Soul stumbled in behind her, holding to the doorframe for stability.
"I appear to have run afoul of your powers," he said to Morrissey.
"Sorry about that," she said.
"I note two disabled guards," he said, "and one dead scientist. So the operation went well?"
"Morrissey had to shoot one," Moonlight said, pulling one of the scientist's bonds tight, "to save me. I ruined it." "No," Marcy said. It was my fault for not helping fast enough.
It is done, Twinsoul said. We should see to the captives and secure an exit. What are those burnt pages?
They destroyed evidence, Marcy said. I assume about how they were accomplishing the hemallergy. I wasn't able to save it, so... Moonlight sniffed. Looks like the cover of a book there. You saved that much. But none of the writings, Marcy said. I can rewind that later, Moonlight said, with a stamp. She grabbed the burned remnants and shoved them into her sack. Twin Soul is right. We should probably begin our extraction. That gunshot will bring people running.
Extraction? Marcy said.
And Trone said he was going to help an invading force attack. Moonlight, can enemy troops really reach us from another world?
They're probably coming through Shadesmar, Moonlight said, a dimension overlapping ours. It's how Twin Soul and I got here.
Autonomy has access to some very specialized troops, Twin Soul said. Hard to control, dangerous to unleash. I know their destructive power personally. While I'm more frightened of that bomb, an invasion by Autonomy's forces could also be catastrophic. Fortunately, the local perpendicularity, the portal to reach this world, is far to the south and carefully controlled.
There's no other way? Marcy asked. The two shared a look.
There are planets, Moonlight said, where Autonomy has created such portals unexpectedly and against all understood mechanics. I wouldn't be surprised if she's done that here or is soon going to, providing a means for her armies to attack.
So if Wax succeeded in stopping the bomb, there would be an invasion instead. Marcy took a deep breath. Even more reason they couldn't run, not until they knew what was happening with that army. For now, though, she unlocked and yanked open the cell door, spilling light across the ragged prisoners. They pulled back from the light like mist wraiths in the night.
I'm Marcy Colmes, she said, fishing her credentials from her pocket. Ellendale Constabulary.
Oh, thank the survivor,
a man said, stumbling forward and taking her hand. His suit had once been nice, and he had a few tufts of hair on an otherwise bald head. Did she recognize him?
You're in Bilming politics, she said. You served as the local advisor to the Senate.
Yes, he stuttered. P.L. Fromit. I was head of the opposition party for the Bilming Council. I still am, I think.
Most of the others looked like ordinary citizens, but there was a terrace woman in the rear with kinky hair. That was, yes, she was a major newspaper owner, wasn't she? Editor of the Seasons? Marcy had been interviewed by her staff the other year. It was a newspaper that had been sympathetic to Ellendale interests.
Preservation. And Trone hadn't merely been experimenting on his citizens, he'd been experimenting on his political opposition. It was shockingly brazen. How had he made these people vanish without anyone getting wind of it?
The editor of the Seasons accepted Marcy's help as Moonlight ushered the captives into the main room.
Listen, the woman said. I think they have an army of some sort. I've been taking notes.
She almost fainted as Marcy helped her stand, but she pressed a notebook into Marcy's hands.
There isn't much, but you must believe me.
I do, Marcy said. We're here to stop them.
Locate a place they call the community, she said. I think it's where their barracks are.
We'll stop them, Marcy promised, leading her to the others. We have to get these people out of here, Marcy then said to Twin Soul. Immediately. Together, the three of them ushered the poor captives along. They were slow, they were tired, and they were underfed. It took a dangerously long time to get them all into the tunnel. And as Marcy was preparing to lead them back toward the elevators, she heard noises from that direction. With a sinking feeling, she saw a good 2 dozen guards, soldiers, really, probably the ones who had been standing watch in the building above, come piling around the turn in the tunnel. This had just gone from quiet infiltration to full-on war.